In my reading about this text this week, I ran across something that I never had before. A particular commentator on this passage of 2 Samuel verses 7 through, or 4 through 17, excuse me, said that this is the most important story in all of David's life. And I really got to thinking about that, because if it's the most important story, the most important story in the Bible about David, it leaves an awful lot out. I mean, there are more stories that are more familiar to us, certainly David and Goliath, or David and Bathsheba are certainly higher up there in name recognition than this story about David and God. But the commentator said the reason that this is important is because this promise that God makes to David, that he will always have a household, that God will always be watching out for David's descendants, paves the way for Jesus to be born in the city of David in Bethlehem. And that the reason this story is important is because God says to David, the kingdom that I'm going to establish for you is going to last forever. Forever. And in some ways, we could say that this story is about the difference between a house and a home. And you know this, we talked about this with the kids, the difference between a house is what David wants to build for God. He has this idea. You see, David has finally established himself to the point where he wants to build God a house. David says, I live in a nice house, and now in Jerusalem, as I look around, I want to do a little bit of urban planning, and I want to build God the best home that I can. Yet at the end of the day, no matter how nice you make the house, it's still got walls, it's still got a floor, it's still got a roof. And God says, I don't really want that. David, it's a nice offer, but no, you're not going to build that. God says, I want a household or a home. God says, I'm going to build it. I'm going to build the more important thing. I'm going to build the people that worship in that house. I'm going to make a dynasty for you that will last forever. And it will transcend all the wooden beams that hold up the roof. It will be greater than all the windows that you put in my temple. It will be more fantastic and more long-lasting than this house that you'd like to build me. And indeed, that's what happens. God says to David, someday we'll get a temple. But it's not your job, David, to build it. I'll give that to your son, Solomon. Someday we'll have a temple and it will be great and grand. But more important than the temple building itself, more important than the church and the steeple, is the household inside, where the people worship. And indeed, God says, it is through this line, your line, David, that the king, the eternal king, will come. Now, we all know the difference between a house and a home. There are all sorts of proverbs and sayings about the difference. Yet I remember one time in Germany 12 years ago, I remember one of the things that they emphasize much more in Germany than they do in the United States is the pastor's responsibility to visit adults on their birthdays. Pretty much in the United States, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but my taking the pulse of the United States is people kind of forget about your birthday after about 12. They don't really care after that point. But in Germany, you get a big to-do on your birthday all the rest of your life, all of your adult life. It's a big deal. One of the responsibilities of the pastor is to try and visit as many people who have significant birthdays. You can't visit everybody on their birthday, obviously, but if somebody hits 80, if somebody hits 85, 90, and so on, things like that. You're supposed to visit on people's birthdays. And I sat through many birthday visits. I went to many people's houses for their birthdays. I went to small apartments. I went to large apartments. I went to many different places on people's birthdays. They always had friends over, and they always had a little buffet table with little hors d'oeuvres on it. And it was a big deal to go and visit people on their birthday. Yet there's one visit, of all the visits I made 12 years ago, that sticks out in my mind. It was in an old farmhouse, and it was in a dark but well-used, well-serviced kitchen. This was relatively early in my ministry and ministry in Germany. And maybe had I had a little more experience, I would have done it a little bit differently. But in any event, they had a built-in booth in their kitchen where you could sit around the table. And they were so happy to see the new pastor. And hey, this new pastor is the pastor from America. So they gave me a seat of great honor right in the corner of the booth. It was a corner table in the kitchen. So I'm sitting in the corner. One of the things that happened as people were traipsing in and out of the house was I found out that I couldn't get out of the corner because there were people who were coming in and filling in. So grandmother would pass by, it's her birthday, and she would say, "Here, have another cup of coffee and a piece of cake." Again, I'm a little slow on some of these things. And Jennifer, she wasn't with me, so I probably should have took her along. But in Germany, when you finish your cake, that means that you want some more cake. Yeah, my mother taught me you finish what's on your plate. Well, in Germany, you leave a little bit, just a little bit for people. To know that you're finished. But if you eat more, if you finish the plate, then you're going to get another thing of cake. Well, grandmother had been cooking all week for everybody to come to her birthday party. So I tried marzipan cake, and I tried carrot cake, and I had meat pies, and I don't even know all the stuff that I ate. But I'm stuck in the corner of this house wishing happy birthday to grandmother every time she came by, and drinking several dozen cups of coffee. I still couldn't get out. I just could not get out of the corner. But I got to meet a whole bunch of people that day. And it didn't matter what the kitchen looked like, and I didn't even get to see any room of the house other than the kitchen. But it was homey. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It was a place where I got to meet Uncle So-and-so, and then when Uncle So-and-so got up and pushed cousin what's-her-name in, then I got to talk to them, and things all day kept moving around to share in fellowship with a great group of people. And God promises David that it doesn't matter what the kitchen looks like, doesn't matter if there are dirty dishes in the sink, but God is promising David that he and his descendants forever will have that household. And that you and I are recipients of that household. That when God is speaking here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that's something, we bear the fruit of that. We're the household. We're the evidence that this promise goes on forever. You and I being here this morning is a miracle because we're part of that promise that God said, "I will make you a people, King David, forever." And I've met some remarkable people through the years that I never would have met otherwise were it not for the Christian church. I think it's remarkable that you and I are of the same household of people from the Philippines. That blows my mind. One of the pastors who visited us in the Philippines, one of the pastors, after our worship service here, we went over to our house, and she was in our backyard, and she pulls up three little blades of grass, and she says, "This blade of grass we have in the Philippines, but these two I've never seen before. They must be unique to the United States of America." And then she said, "What are they called?" And I said, "I think grass." But that's amazing to me that we could gather together as people who, somebody who's never seen, they had to ask me what, how many seasons we had in the United States, because they only have two, wet and dry. They had to ask me how high the snow got, and I had to ask them questions about things. That's remarkable to me, that the only thing we have in common, we don't even have the same grass in common, the only thing we have in common is Jesus Christ and the promise of the household that David heard 3,000 years ago. That blows my mind. God says to King David, this is going to work. This is going to work, and even your son, if he messes it up, your son Solomon, if he messes it up, he may be chastised. He may lose some land. The temple may even be destroyed, and we know that that is indeed what happens, that the temple in Jerusalem does not stand anymore. It is gone. But God promises that the walls aren't what's important. The nice building is not what's important. The user-friendliness is not important. What is important is the theological vision of the household, that we all belong to one household. So in other words, when that stranger comes, when that stranger has come from thousands of miles away and shows up on your doorstep for your birthday, you feed that stranger. When that stranger comes and wants to know what they call a particular blade of grass, it's not about the bricks, it's not about the mortar, it's all about the fact that Jesus calls us together as one household, that we carve out of this great group of people that we call humanity, and we're accountable to the message. We're accountable to each other, taking care of each other, calling ourselves neighbors and family and friends. And the only choice that God offers us in the text is, do we accept that we're part of God's household? Do we accept that we are part of that great big temple, that spiritual temple? Do we accept what God has laid on us, saying, you are part of my family, and you're part of that family forever? Amen. Amen.